Here we go. We're back again. A new show. Wow! Everybody's happy. Everybody's excited. Yeah, we got a little here touching my inner thigh as always, and he's creeping up my thigh. Whoa! Stop! Wait!
Let me.
Okay, no.
Up
keep going.
And
keep going.
Down.
Keep going. Okay. Anyway, we got Corey. He's back. Corey Coty Tatum.
Go flip.
Say hi, Corey.
What's going on?
All right. So, you know what I saw the other day? You're not gonna believe this. Maybe you will. I saw your buddy, Snoop Dogg.
Okay.
On The Price is Right.
The dog what? Was on The Price is Right?
Yes, it was so humiliating.
No shit.
Fuck, dude. I don't even know what day it was.
Right?
I don't know what day it was. We were home. I just was flipping the channels. Drew Carey's the host now. You know that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I've been to The Price is Right before.
Have you?
Yeah.
With Bob Barker?
No, Drew.
Oh, yeah? Or just recently,
like
then?
A few years ago, yeah.
Did you get on
family.
The show?
Nah, we didn't get on the show.
So you're a loser.
I was mad. Yeah. I used to watch that shit with my grandmother.
So Snoop Dogg is on the show, and man, I felt so bad for him. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? He was just like hanging out, and like, you know, the person went, and hey, Stephanie, come on down. And they walk down. Oh, my God. And then, you know, he hugs them, and, like, he's standing there next to them. They're playing the game, and he's giving them pointers, like, oh, and here's, Rice. Oh, man, baby girl, you got to go with, like, a 150 on that one. It's like, that kid, I'm like, what the hell's going on with this? So he was there the whole time. Like, the whole show, he was there.
Okay.
And the whole time I was thinking, this guy is known for doing drugs.
Yeah.
Rapping about fucking women.
Yeah.
You know?
Murder
yes, who's
case.
Back in the motherfucking house with a fat dick, man?
Yeah.
And now he's on a family show like The Price is Right, where it's all, like, all white people
you
watch.
You gotta love America, right?
It's fucking strange, right? It's bizarre.
Gotcha.
And,
well, look at Ice Cube. He's got, like, a whole bunch of family pictures under him now. And
I guess.
And he goes back to music, and it's just hardcore stuff, man.
Them dudes are in with the big dogs.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know what I'm saying? Day in.
But it seems like, wouldn't being on The Price is Right be like a low thing to do? Like if you need work or you need money? Like it's not really something you do if you're on top, right?
That's a good question. You know what, man? Everybody loved the dog, though.
That's
true.
He's probably one of those guys.
That's what was funny to me.
The
like,
dog is as American
everyone
as
loved
apple
him.
Pie, man.
Yeah.
On some real shit.
As American as apple pie. The question is why?
Yeah. Why? Hey, yeah, you feel me? You don't see. Hey, that's the dog, man. I don't know.
But what do you think about that?
You know, it's interesting because if there was a time in hip-hop, in the hip-hop community, where you would get ousted for some shit like that.
Right.
Straight up. But you know who erased those lines, if you ask me? Diddy.
Really?
Yeah, Diddy. See, he blurred the lines. It used to be where it was, we had our world over here, and then it was the other world. And you didn't mix those two worlds. Like, the only person that mixed those two worlds was Michael Jackson. And then, you know, when Michael, we love Michael for what he did, but at one point, Michael was out of touch with the black community. Like, after he did Thriller and he went so big, and then he did the bad shit, we was like, Michael. You know what I mean? He came out with the L.A. gear boots and all the leather shit. And we was like, nah, we on this rap
L.A.
shit.
Gear.
Yeah, you know, Michael was too big. He like, kind of left the ghetto.
Yeah.
And so we always turned to hip-hop.
But I thought you told me one time that Michael was like super pro black. Like he would, most of his songs were about that. That's what you
I
said,
never
right?
Told you no shit.
You
like
told
that.
Me that.
I did.
Yeah.
No, he. Oh well, yeah. He do have later on when he started getting in trouble with the white boys.
Yeah, he came back to the niggas.
That's what Michael did.
No, we R.I.P. MJ. Hey, we love Michael Jackson.
But you think he was killed?
Michael? Nah, man. I think Michael was probably sick or some shit.
You believe the story where he just he asked for it and the guy just gave it to him?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I think he was
Kevorkian style.
Yeah, no, I think he was on some shit. I think he was, but
Kevorkian style, that means he killed himself?
No, no, Kevorkian. Remember, Kevorkian would give the people
that wanted to die, though.
Yeah,
maybe you think Michael wanted to die?
Yeah, I think Michael did. I think Michael was sick, very sick. Yeah, and I think that's why he was on the drugs and to begin with. And I
oh, you're talking about what you told me about. One
yeah,
day.
Man.
I think, you see those pictures of him like on his deathbed?
No,
I mean, I don't know if they're real or not, but it almost looks like one of those like. You know, you go to, like, Not Scary Farm and, like, really, like, skinny.
I think Michael had some shit, man, that nobody want to talk about.
Talk about it.
I think Michael had the big one.
Which is?
Me, personally, I think he had AIDS. I think he died of AIDS, and he was going to die. And I think he was on his way out. Yeah, I think so. And I think that's how, because it was a doctor named Dr. Sabi.
Dr. Sabi.
Dr. Sabi. He's a holistic healer.
Yeah.
He uses, like, just basically natural medicines and herbs. And it's on YouTube. You can find it. And he was talking about, he had a story where he was saying that one of Michael's brothers came to him and was like, because Dr. Sabi, he's known in LA and amongst the black community and like with a lot of celebs for holistic healing.
Okay.
Like cancer, diabetes, AIDS, whatever. Dr. Sabi can heal it, supposedly. Right. So he was telling a story where he basically he helped Michael Jackson. Because he said Michael was really, 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 really sick. He didn't say what he had, but he insinuated that it was that. Because after at the end, when he healed him and gave him whatever, he gave him these herbs and put him on this regiment, Michael was like, I got to tell everybody about this. You heal AIDS. Like, you cure AIDS.
Yeah.
That's what he said that Michael said. He was like, man. And so Dr. Sabi was like, man, they don't want to hear this shit. I can get killed for this. Like, they don't want a cure for AIDS.
Yeah.
They want the treatment. They make more money off of the pills.
Make more money off treating it than healing it.
And that's what he was saying. And Michael was so excited he wanted to share it with everybody.
You think that's why Michael didn't have natural kids? Because he didn't want to pass it down?
That's a good question. Because you know goddamn well them ain't his kids. Real shit. And I try to tell my wife that over and over. I know we want to believe that them ain't Michael. Dude, Michael is a brother.
They don't look.
You understand what
like
I'm saying?
At all.
I don't give a fuck how white he turned himself and how much he chiseled his nose down. If he was to fuck a woman and put his sperm in, his kid's coming out black.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't bleach away DNA.
No way. You can't bleach away no motherfucking DNA. And I think Michael has some shit.
That's a good point. Look at this guy.
I never thought about that, Lito. That's kudos to you. I never even thought about that.
I was thinking about that. You're talking. I was like,
he had AIDS. Wow.
I think he did.
You heard it first, son.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. I think they got some pictures with him on, if you look on the internet, one where his fucking shins was just ate up, like, with sores. And he was in a wheelchair. He was looking bad.
Yeah. He was pretty fucked up for a while.
Dude, for a minute, you could see him just going downhill. And
but then he would pop back up with like, you know,
he'd
those videos of him dancing around on cars and stuff, remember? Yeah. Or dancing around in front of the doctor's offices and stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't see any of the bad pictures of him.
Well, it's this one writer that claimed he was hanging with Michael in his last years. He has said, if you could pull it up on the internet if you think I'm lying, in December of 2008, he said Michael Jackson is going to be dead in 6 months. He said he's in desperate need of a lung transplant.
Really?
Now, I don't know, but everybody I've heard that died from AIDS, they usually die of pneumonia.
Okay.
Of some kind of a lung, because they, you know. And so he said Michael has 6 months to live. He's in desperate need of a lung transplant.
When did he die?
Fucking 6 months after that.
No way.
I swear. He died in December of... No, he died June 25th, 2009.
It's been that long already?
Yeah. He died on... I remember because I was watching Transformers 2. I was in the movie theater and I got a text.
Yeah.
And it said Michael Jackson dead. And I was like, yeah, right. But
this guy said that Michael was going to die. He said he has 6 months to live if he doesn't get this lung transplant.
So what do you think? I mean, this guy's got...
So the whole story about the doctor killing him and all of that shit, he was going to die anyway, according to this guy. How the fuck did this dude know Michael was going to die in 6 months?
I mean, because he's always, you know, like...
Do you believe that it's possible that this doctor got a huge payoff to take the fall for this? Make it look like this happened?
But do you think Michael even had that kind of money?
What?
What?
Man, Michael Jackson balling. He owns the Beatles, son.
He got the Beatles fucking catalog.
Okay, so what did it got all this, you know, he owes all this that money and they took away Neverland Ranch.
I'm going to tell you like this, man. Me personally.
He's got a vault somewhere swimming in money. Fuck like yeah, McDuck.
Dude. Yeah. I think,
maybe that's why he's sick. He's got lead poisoning.
I think Sony wanted him dead.
So they could take it to his library? So
come on, man. He's worth more. If he was broke. He's worth more dead than alive.
Reissuing CDs.
Come on, man. And the dude, that
a special message.
He died owning that catalog. You know how much they say he made a year off of just owning that catalog?
Can't even imagine that.
$40 million a year just off of owning the Beatles.
And then they released it on iTunes.
How did the Beatles let their shit get away like that?
Because what happened was Paul McCartney, he put Michael Jackson up to speed about the publishing business.
I've heard about that, yeah.
Yeah, he told Mike. Michael didn't really, you know, he wasn't thinking about investing and buying other artists' work.
Yeah.
So he put him up to speed about it. And so what happened was he asked them about their catalog. Like, what's up? Why y'all don't have y'all shit? And Paul was like, oh, they want $20 million. I'm not paying that for my own songs.
Right.
So Michael waited. Paul didn't want to buy it. So Michael bought the shit. He moved in and he paid like $40 for it. He paid like double. And so Paul was heated after that. That's how they fell out. And he was like, well, it's not my fault. You don't think your own music is worth $20 million. I paid $40 for it.
Yeah.
And shit, he made probably 50 times that amount
over
the years. Yeah, they say Michael was a shrewd businessman.
Can you believe that? Can you believe, say you, right? You make hit after hit after hit. You use your blood, sweat, and tears, and your fucking love. And some other asshole buys it.
Well, he could have bought it. Paul was balling too. Like, he could have bought it. It just wasn't worth it to him.
Maybe he didn't care to. I mean, he was rich with what he had.
If he didn't care, then why did he get so mad at Michael Jackson afterwards?
Because it's like this. I got a sandwich in my refrigerator, right? It's my sandwich. No, I don't want to eat it right now. But then you pull it out and you fucking reheat it up and grill it and put it on the stove and make that shit look extra appetizing.
Motherfucker, that's my sandwich.
It's fucking exactly.
What you doing my sandwich?
What you doing my sandwich? That was my sandwich. And that's what I think happened.
I bought it. It's not yours anymore.
Yeah, I bought it. And he's sitting there pouting.
That's fucked up.
You know what? I'm going to stop right now and I'm going to take a piss. You got to go pee?
I got to take a piss, dog.
All right. I'm going to stop right now.
I was just going to say that.
We'll come right back. Give me a break.
More stories.
Pee-pee break. All right, we're back. We pee-peed. We got our fresh drinks, except for Lito. And we're ready to go. And so, real quick, to close out this whole journey you're telling, your producer story.
Gotcha.
Now let's talk about your next venture. Where are you on your way to right now? Well, not right now, this minute, but coming up soon.
ATL, Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, Georgia.
Georgia on my mind.
Yeah,
right?
ATL.
And you got this thing going on where, I think it's safe to say that this last year you've been wasting your life at the same shithole that I was at. And again, I'm glad we crossed paths. I'm glad you could be here tonight to share these stories. And I hope we keep in touch in the future.
We will.
Hope this isn't goodbye, you motherfucker.
No.
But, but for now, you're done with that shithole we were at, too. Yeah. You finished. You're out. And you're on your way to a possible break. Another break in your career.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Gotcha.
You're going to Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
With a possible... I won't even say possible. It's going to happen because I believe in you.
Gotcha.
Something big is going to happen with you.
Gotcha.
Coming up. And all you motherfuckers out there are going to know the name Coty. Watch. You mark my words. But you know what? He was here first.
Yeah.
Or the danger.
That's right. All right. But you're going to go there, but you've been there before, right? And
yes,
you met a friend, I would say, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And what did he tell you? I like this advice.
This advice. Well, I was telling Danger earlier, I was in Atlanta 2009. I went to the Hip Hop Awards, the BET Hip Hop Awards. And I was out there, and I ran into Dog. We call him Dog, Snoop Dogg. And I ran into him at the radio station. I was like, what's up, dog? Oh, what's up with you, cuz? And that's how he talked. I'm out here, you know, doing my thing. Shit, I see you out here doing your thing. Shit, this what you got to do. You know, you can't really crack out there back home in L.A., cuz. You got to really do what you're doing. You know, you got to get on the road. And then you got to come to places like here, like Atlanta, and pop like that and do your thing. And then come back and go home and do your thing and blow up like that. I see you out here doing your thing, cuz. Yeah, that's my Snoop impersonation. Shout out to the boss, dog.
It's pretty good, man.
Yeah.
I pictured him the whole time in his maneuvers and all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that was his advice. Basically, he was saying that L.A. is a tough market.
Right.
Very tough market to break.
So you got to go away from home.
Go away from home.
Travel a little bit. Go somewhere that, you know, there's not too much happening.
Well, Atlanta's a whole lot happening.
That, yeah, oh, is it?
What?
It's not.
That's where Justin Bieber got his break.
Oh, who?
Justin Bieber. No,
who?
Bieber. He's like, who? Bieber, motherfucker. Bieber fever.
In Atlanta, Georgia?
Yeah. He got. Really? His manager, Scooter, discovered him on YouTube.
Scooter?
That's his name, yeah.
Oh, Scooter. Man.
And,
I thought it was Usher.
No, he signed out. He took the scooter, took him to Usher.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he took him to Usher. He flew him
Justin. Not that I know too much about Justin, but.
Yeah. Hey. Oh, that's the gay shit in your iPod, huh, Leo? baby. Oh. Yeah, so.
I just saw a TV show. I don't know the music.
Yeah.
I didn't know he sang.
Yeah.
I thought he was just a woman's model.
I don't believe that.
Atlanta's cracking. It's a hotbed for music. What?
So then why would you want to go there to blow up? I thought if he said...
Well, because the thing is, even though Hollywood is the big leagues...
Okay.
Atlanta is still... they have like southern hospitality, I guess, if you will. You know what I mean? It's not Hollywood.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can still break easier.
Isn't your family from the South?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where from? Louisiana?
More like the Midwest, Southfield, from Missouri.
Missouri
and Mississippi.
Okay.
Yeah, Memphis, Tennessee, the little area.
Memphis, yeah. It's a big rock and or a country town, right?
Shit, yeah, country and rock and roll, blues.
Elvis, now. Right?
Memphis? Elvis, yeah, Graceland.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did he say? Hound dog was one of his songs.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing but a hound dog. Yeah.
The king. Awkwardly silent.
Yeah, but anyway.
Shout out to the king.
Atlanta, Georgia. I'll be in the ATL. Actually, Angie Stone, she lives out there too. And she had told me that, you know, you should come out here. There's a lot of opportunity. You should check it out. And so it just so happened at the same time, my buddy, he was going out there with their record company to Atlanta. So I was like, you know what? I mean, maybe I can catch a ride with these dudes.
Yeah.
That was it.
That's the next.
Yeah.
This is a prelude to what's gonna come.
To what's gonna come.
And I told you earlier when I was meeting, because Lita was late, so you and I had a chance to be alone. Gotcha. But I told you earlier, and I'm gonna say it again.
I'm sorry if I left you alone.
I want it to be documented.
Okay.
I am genuinely happy for you. I know it's gonna happen for you because I believe in you because I heard your shit personally.
Thank you.
And it's top notch.
Yeah.
And I know it.
Gotcha.
And so all the best to you, man.
Hey, man. Pleasure.
But you're not leaving yet.
Yeah, he said not yet.
But I know what's going to happen. This is all you need to do. I had this theory for a while. I don't know if it's a theory or just a way of thinking where when I was, you know, years ago, I'd be home. And I'd get invited somewhere.
Gotcha.
And I would get a little bit scared, like, oh, I don't know what to expect. What's going to happen? Gotcha. Who's going to be there? I don't know.
Anxious.
Yeah. Or just, like, nervous. Yeah. Gotcha. And I would tell myself, well, fuck. If you just stay home, you're not going to do shit. If you go, this could be possibly the greatest night of your life. But you'll never know it because you're not leaving.
Exactly.
But what I want to relate that to is you're taking the ride, man. You're going.
Rolling the
you're
dice.
Exactly. You're leaving. And could be the best ride of your life.
Yeah.
Real talk. There it is.
There it is on the danger hour.
There it is. And so I guess what I want to say is to anyone listening, if I have any influence over you, get out of the house a little bit, huh? Go experience things. Go have a little adventure or two, huh?
Go do something.
Because it might just change your life. Maybe for the worse, but maybe for the better.
Exactly.
There you go. All right. So I guess the next thing I wanted to ask you was I was at a Christmas Eve get together with my wife's family. Mm-hmm. And a couple people that I love to hang out with were there. And they were discussing something. And I thought you could relate to this.
Okay.
They were discussing who was the best singer, Mariah or Whitney.
Ooh, that's tough.
And they were going back and forth.
About it, huh?
Talking shit back and forth.
You know what, man? Whitney in her prime.
Couldn't touch her, right?
You couldn't touch Whitney.
Pre-drugs.
Pre-drugs. Pre-Bobby.
Pre-Bobby Brown. Hey, I love Bobby Brown. Hey, that's my dude.
That TV show.
Did he wreck that chick? Him.
No, they say she wrecked him.
Oh, really?
That's what I heard.
Yeah, I'd believe it.
I heard she wrecked him.
I'll believe either one.
Either one. Either one is an acceptable answer.
Yeah. I mean, she took a Dolly Parton record. Is that how you say her name? Yeah, Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton, yeah.
And fucking took it to the next level.
Right.
Wow.
Is that the I Will Always Love You thing?
Yeah, that one.
Oh, yeah, she rocked that.
Yeah, when I was a kid,
that soundtrack record. Just blow the fuck up?
Yeah. So
I know my mom owned that soundtrack, and I would listen to it in the car.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. All the you tape. Got just the bodyguard, dude.
Yeah, the bodyguard.
That's it. I'll say you with me.
Did you watch that movie?
You know what? I still never heard about it, but I did watch the movie you told me to watch.
Which The Help. Oh, we're getting to that.
We'll
get to that.
Yeah.
So you never saw The Bodyguard?
I never saw The Bodyguard.
Isn't your obligation as a black producer to watch The Bodyguard?
I should.
It deals with music?
I should.
And it's, you know, an iconic
figure.
I've
seen it. I've seen it, parts of it and bits of it years ago.
You know what? I like that movie.
Really?
From what I remember, yeah.
I'm going to watch it on Netflix then.
Is it on it?
Yeah, it's on there.
Really?
Last I checked.
I'm going to watch
check
it.
Out, yeah.
I could actually check on my phone in the pocket, pull it up, and see it's probably on there still.
I would say most of the time Kevin Costner can't fuck something up.
You know? Kevin Costner?
Kevin Costner, yeah.
Waterworld?
I would say most of the time.
Oh, yeah, that was bad.
The Postman?
I would say most of the time he doesn't ruin movies.
You didn't like The Postman? No. He was riding on the horse and shit?
Delivery messages.
Yeah.
Brooks. You know what? Speaking of Postman, you just brought that to my head. Defector once told me that he went to a post office. Because sometimes they'd make him deliver stuff.
Okay.
You know? And, of course, naturally, he would do it and for no pay. But he would go and do it.
Oh, my God.
And he goes, hey, fool, at this one post office, they got a mural on the wall of a postman shooting an Indian. And I was like, what? It's so fucking racist. And I was like, wow, they have an actual mural in, like, it's inside the building. You can't see it unless you're a postal worker.
Yeah.
It's like a postman on a horse shooting a fucking Indian, like, you know?
What the
I don't
fuck?
Know why they have it there, but apparently it was a thing to do back then.
Pony Express?
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, whatever. I think that's what he said.
We just wanted our mail.
Hey, fool!
But,
I couldn't be.
So who would you say, Lito? Who's a better singer, Mariah or Whitney?
Have you not really listened to any of them?
Yeah.
Dick, come on. You grew up in the 80s. You
I remember. You know, I like Mariah better.
You like her better.
Just because I'm
he's gangster. That's
no,
why.
No. I'm really attracted to women singers, and she's just. I think from what I know, Whitney's more powerful, but Mariah's got that. I mean,
that octave.
She's,
that
yeah,
high.
She's got that. She kills it.
Are you talking sex appeal?
I don't know.
Are you talking sex appeal?
Yeah. Well, she adds to that, but I mean,
okay,
she,
I'm talking about.
I don't know. I've never seen them before. No, no, no. But the thing is, I still think Whitney's just a little too. What's the word I'm looking for? Too dramatic with it. True. You know, she's just too like.
You know what? Go ahead. I'll let you answer that, and I'm gonna tell you what I'm
thinking. I hate the way Mariah is always whining the way she sings.
Okay.
It's annoying, man. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm sure you do. But if you don't, just listen to a few records. She just like it just sounds whiny to me.
I didn't appreciate Whitney's voice until my ears as a producer developed over the years.
Really,
and I understood what people were talking about, the difference. But when I listen to like the old Whitney, man, Whitney's voice, the tone, the richness of her voice, the way it was unmatched.
You ever see the video where she did the national anthem?
That's what I'm talking about. That period. Just pull up the national anthem.
She's voted the best national anthem performance of all time.
Bowl, I think I've read that. Yeah.
I think that was the Dallas. Yeah, it was
Super Bowl. Yeah.
Super Bowl. So she's the best national ever.
I played it for my wife the other day because I was like, hey, Whitney Houston. Oh, I don't know about Whitney Houston. I don't remember. So I played that song. And she was genuinely impressed because, dude, it's fucking live.
Yeah, dude.
It's live.
Nobody sang it better than Whitney.
Right.
Jennifer Hudson did a pretty good job. Not so long ago. She did a pretty good job.
What about Marvin Gaye? He got it
He
did it all sexy.
Marvin was called when he was at the Forum.
Yeah, you ever see that video?
Yeah, he had the drum machine.
Oh, we got to post that video. We're going to post that one.
Yeah, Marvin Gaye.
He does it like he's fucking a woman, pretty much. It's just so sexy the way he does it.
Have never been so sexy.
Yeah, he slows it down. He makes like he has like a beat with it.
Yeah, he had a drum. It was pretty cool. And Mariah Carey though, she's dope. I won't take nothing away from her. MC.
Oh yeah, same here. She does hit that bird note. They say that. Yeah, they say that she hits that octave that birds sing at or whatever the fuck it is, like the seventh. What is it, the seventh octave, whatever it is? I don't know what it is, but I'm not a pro. But still impressive. Fuck it. Why not?
Yeah, she's dope.
So Whitney won, I guess. But speaking of Whitney, the next thing I wanted to talk about was wasted talent, you know, with drugs. How do you feel about that?
Wait, say that again.
Wasted talent.
Wasted talent with drugs?
Like when you see someone that has so much talent and then just shit it away with drugs. You know what I mean?
Man.
How do you feel about that? I mean,
hurt because you know why? At the end of the day, one thing I realized, and it took me a while to kind of understand this until I went to an old school concert with my mom one time. It was, I think, the emotions and that. It was some old school shit. But anyway, one thing about music and being an artist is that the fans never forget. You know, when somebody makes a record, something can be going on in somebody's life at a particular time. Every time they hear that record, it's going to remind them of a particular experience or something that's going on in their life.
Okay.
And that's tattooed on the listeners or the fans on their brains. So when you're not able to continue with your career because of drugs or whatever, it's a disappointment to people because they want more. You understand what I'm trying to say? So it's kind of like it's kind of like a selfish thing to do, because when you sell millions of records and you impact people like that, they want you to be able to do that shit. Like basically, tell you can't do it anymore, like James Brown. So
it's something that other people can't do. Most people can't do.
Exactly.
A lot of people can't do.
Can't do. Exactly.
That's my next question.
There's no replication of most of these people.
Probably the most important question. Do you think talented people owe something to the world?
You know what? That's a good question. They owe something. You know what I mean? Yeah, they do. You think so? They do. They don't owe something to the world. Far as always, you gotta make sure you're okay first, not at the expense.
Well, what I mean is, like I've heard this many times.
Okay.
In my little, not my circle, but whoever I've been, I won't say my circle. I'm saying wherever I've been. Whoever I've ran into, whatever experiences I've had with music talk,
okay.
The biggest statement I've heard is, imagine if Kurt Cobain wanted to kill himself. Imagine what kind of great music he would have made.
Yeah, he did a disservice.
And I think about, well, does he owe that to us? Does he, because he's talented and because he made some great music, does he owe it to fucking the world to keep doing that?
Not at the expense of his own. So when it gets to the point where you're making music for where you're sacrificing yourself, yeah, where you would fucking do what he did, then somebody should have got to him way before he was making records. So yeah, he should have some kind of intervention.
Yeah, because that note that he had left, the one that, you know, has seen it where Courtney, she fucking reads the note out loud. And, I mean, it looks like he was crying for help for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so the people just said, fuck that. Keep on singing Teen Spirit. And he's just dying a little bit, each day.
Yeah. Each day he did it.
Until...
That's a strange area, though, because he's making music that people are responding to tremendously, but yet he can't handle the fame and the pressure and just the spotlight. He doesn't like that shit. He wants to make the music, but he doesn't want to be in the spotlight.
He doesn't
want to
take the lifestyle with
him. Because that's something that he was sick, man. Somebody should have came in. It should have been some kind of intervention before that even got to that point.
But how would you cure that? Shit. Don't perform, just make the music and don't go on tour.
That's not
go on tour and that's just not what play behind a big curtain.
That's not the fame is not what's causing him to win it. It wasn't that. Whatever he was going through put him in a position where he couldn't handle the fame and deal with that. If they would have fixed that thing first, then he would have been like normal people, been able to handle this.
So there's something deeper underneath.
But do you think that would have changed his music? A lot of people say that angst is what brought his music to be so cutting edge.
Yeah, that's a good question.
That's a great question.
So that's the only kind of questions I got? Yeah.
Well, you know what, man? Sometimes everything that happened was meant to happen.
It's a catch-22 right there.
Catch-22, man. I mean, think about Tupac.
What do you think about Tupac?
What do I think about... You know what, man? I'll be honest.
He was going to ask you about Tupac.
I'll be honest.
I'm glad I waited.
I'll be honest. I wasn't a crazy Tupac fan, but I liked his work. Uh-huh. And I seen him right before he died, like a couple months. I seen him at the studio, and we talked about working together.
Oh, you seen him in the studio, shit. And you talked to him?
Yeah.
I thought you meant you saw him in concert.
No, I talked to him.
That's how regular people think. We gotta remember, we're talking to a guy that talked to Stevie Wonder Ray Charles.
Yeah, they used to work at a studio called Can-Am at Death Row.
That's a plane, right?
Huh?
It's a plane?
Well, it sounds like a plane. No, that was the name of the studio. It's in Tarzana, California.
Is that a nice area?
Yeah, really nice.
Tarzana?
It's cool, yeah. Right. Out in the valley. Well, anyway, I seen Pac. My dad introduced me to him.
Is that what you guys call him, Pac?
Yeah,
Pac. Okay.
Yeah. We were at Can-Am. This was like May of 96. Huh. And I was like, yo, Pac, I got some joke. You know, I got some music for you. I want to fuck with you, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't think
he... Is that what you say to him? I want to fuck with you?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I want to fuck with you? Is that what you say?
Yeah. I want to fuck with you on some music.
And that's okay?
Yeah, that's cool.
That's respectful?
Yeah. He's like, he know what that is. He's all right, cool. So in my mind, I'm not thinking he going to be fucking dead. So I didn't really push the issue that much because I'm going to see Pac again. It's all good.
Yeah. Did you get any kind of maybe... feeling that something was up with him? Like you did, like, you know how you were talking about Michael Jackson?
No. It was just so brief.
But he didn't kill himself. He was murdered, right?
Well, yeah, I get, yeah, but then he's all those conspiracies around.
If you listen to his music, he talk about dying all the fucking time, dog.
That's exactly what he said, he's not going to live to see a certain end.
He going to be dead. He's like, that's all he talked about was death. This shit was super dark.
Machiavelli, Illuminati.
Yeah, man, that's all he talked about. Matter of fact, he did a song called "I Ain't Mad at You," where he dies song. In the video. Exactly. And Danny Boy was singing the hook, and he died in the video. It was about him
being in heaven. I remember that. Yeah,
the video was him in heaven with all of these dead celebrities: Marvin Gaye. Fucking Miles Davis.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, dude. And that was it.
Well, remember all the songs.
That was the last video he shot.
I wonder if Heaven Got a Ghetto.
While he was alive.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he had a whole bunch of stuff like that.
Yeah, always preceding his death.
Well, what about that song, Changes, When, like, he was talking like he was already dead.
I see no changes. Yeah. All I see is racist faces.
This place hate makes for sense.
Yeah. To me. Was he talking from a dead man's perspective?
But he was already talking like, I see all this.
Didn't that come out after he died?
Yeah, that came out after he died.
But see, he recorded so much material. When he left prison, he was just in there because he knew his time was short.
But whatever. So what do you say? Okay, so going that route. So what do you say to all the conspiracists that think he's really alive?
Dude, I thought Pac was alive for years.
Because you know he's got new albums coming out, new songs. Didn't a new song come out maybe a year ago or something like that?
Yeah, well, not too long ago. He's still dropping records.
Because I can imagine that, like, a musician. I mean, they do an album, but they, you know, a 12-song album, but then they did 25, 30 songs for that album. Those 12 were the only ones that made it. So something like, they just hold on to these ones and maybe later on they'll release them. But since he's died or whatever, they can make more money off of releasing the, you know, the B-sides.
Prince has like 500 songs.
Shadow's saying that, yeah, that Prince has got...
I believe that.
Since he stopped doing all the X-rated shit, he just kind of...
I believe X-rated. That.
...vaulted him. He stopped doing all the erotic stuff. Well, yeah, he went away from erotic stuff and went into... I don't know, more scenes.
I heard him on I think George Lopez. I think he was on. And he says he reads like he does a song every fucking day. Yeah. He records a song
every day.
He's got like over 500 and something. Yeah. Like, so if this guy fucking died, they'd have if he was able to give access to it, this guy would have fucking decades of music to come out.
Yeah, he would. He would definitely. You know, man.
So you think
Pac is dead? I think so now, but
because it has the 7 years already passed or whatever, right?
Yeah, and when he got shot, I was listening to the radio like minute by minute, play by play, and I remember Theo at the time. He was like,
Theo?
Remember
the
Theo?
Asian guy?
From yeah, 92.3 to B.
He had a good voice.
Yeah.
Theo.
I thought he was black for years.
I think everybody did. And then they had him on TV. I remember I saw it on TV one day on the news.
Yes, Theo.
What the fuck? Are you serious?
Yeah.
So, real quick, at my new job, there's this black guy that came in to the room we were in while we're training. He comes in to introduce himself.
What?
This guy, I'm not fucking with you, sounds exactly like James Earl Jones. Oh. And I'm like, and the whole Darth time, and the whole time I'm listening to him, I'm like, first of all, I'm like, wow.
How can I make him say something cool?
This guy's got a great voice. And the more I listen to him, I said, holy fuck, he sounds like James Earl Jones. And the whole time after that, I'm like thinking, Luke, I'm your father. Just say it.
Oh, man. You got to tell him to record an intro for our
fucking show. Dude, I'm not exaggerating. Maybe not as deep, but he sounds fucking similar to James Earl Jones.
What?
Really close. And I'm like, because we were talking the other day about another episode about black guys that have cool voices. Yeah. And all we had was James Earl Jones and...
Morgan Freeman. I had one time a fucking AT&T technician come out to the house, knock on the door, open the door. Oh, fuck. Morgan Freeman's fixing my shit. Dude, looked exactly like him. Sounded exactly like him.
No way.
Morgan Freeman from Seven, dude.
That's crazy.
Did he say... Hello, Andy Dufresne.
Yes.
I'm here to fix your meter.
This guy's fucking awesome.
Now, this guy was like, I'm here to say hi, and how are you? And like, this and that. Like, I was like, whoa. And all I wanted to hear was...
Everything the light touches is your kingdom.
That's all I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
I am your father. Simba. Join me, who ruled the galaxy as father and son. Right? That kind of... I wanted to hear that shit.
Awesome.
We should have him on the show.
Zazu!
Yes, Saya.
Saya, yeah.
That'd be fucking
Take
awesome.
Take Nala home.
You deliberately disobeyed me. Right?
Yeah.
And what's worse, you put Nala in, did you?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
What the hell are we talking about?
I don't know. We're talking about Tupac.
Tupac. So is he dead, right?
Yeah. Well, Theo said he's... In stable but critical condition. What does that mean?
Stable but critical? It's not the same.
He's in a coma?
Like an oxymoron, huh? Like, stable but critical
condition. He's a vegetable.
Yeah, that don't mean he's gonna survive, huh?
He's a vegetable, but flashlight in his eye can kill him.
Okay. Well, at the time,
like on Seven, remember they find that dude? He's all drugged up.
At the time, I thought that mean he was gonna survive. I was like, "Well, oh fuck, Pac gonna survive. Stable but critical. He gonna pull out. He's stable. They can stabilize him. But then that mean he was critical. Yeah, they couldn't.
You believe he was shot by what's his name?
Nah, hell, man. Look, if I want you dead, I'm not gonna be in the same car that I'm telling him to shoot in. Nah, dude, that he just got
who was caught. It? What's his name?
Huh? Suge Knight.
Suge Knight, yeah. That's
right. Tupac got caught, got killed by some regular Compton niggas. Y'all heard me say it on a yeah. Some regular niggas killed Tupac. I hate to push y'all bubble. It wasn't no set, no hit.
It was no East Coast, West Coast.
He got into it with some the wrong motherfuckers from Compton.
Because that video came out before that he was messing around with some he was fighting.
Yeah,
some
with Baby Lane and them from Southside. Yeah, some real regular motherfuckers. I believe that's what happened with Tupac. So it ain't no extra shit. He just got into it with some regular Compton niggas.
Yeah.
And they killed him.
So what about
unfortunately?
Yeah. What about
R.I.P. Tupac? Huh?
What about Biggie then? What do you think that retaliation was from West Coast thing that they just got into it?
Man, I don't. Who knows?
Because it seemed like
put it like this: he was dumb for bringing his ass to California, like yeah. fresh after the dude. Tupac he's was only
coming,
dead
coming to the Lions then.
Huh? 6 months yeah. later, even if he know he didn't have shit to do with it, which we know he probably didn't. People think you did.
If they think you did, they think you did.
They think you did, they think you did. You fucking on the web. See, that's one thing people don't understand about this gangbanging shit. It's real. People die. This shit ain't for play. A lot of these rappers be rapping about this shit. This shit is real life. Matter of fact, I was just in the city fucking, I was in the hood like last week in Long Beach. Some 18-year-old dude get killed, dead, done. Ain't coming back. Yeah. You know, that shit happens every fucking weekend. Out there, that shit is not for play. So, whatever Biggie thought that, you know, when he came over here, and I love his music, he shouldn't have had his ass over here, man. I would have been like, fuck it. They could have called me a punk, scared, whatever. I would have stayed my ass in New York till about 19.
You still would have been alive.
About 1998. So that shit died down. He probably still be with us, you know, because that it's not for play.
Yeah,
these streets are real.
So why do you think Puff Daddy at the time was so able to come back after that? Why didn't he get? Because he was right in the beginning.
That's a good question.
Co-partner right there too.
That, you know what, man? I'll be honest. I was around during that time, and that's when I was just breaking into the music business and trying to really get my start. And that's when I was with Warren. Matter of fact, Warren G was the one that called me and told me that Biggie had died because him and my buddy was supposed to go to that party that night.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, they were supposed to go to the Vibe party, him and Perfect. And Warren called him and was like, what's up, man? You want to go to this party, whatever? And so Warren just changed his mind. He's like, I don't want to fuck with it. 4 o'clock that morning, March 9th, 1997, I get a call from Warren G and Perfect, from both of them.
And, this is nuts, man.
And they called. Warren called me. He was like, nigga, Biggie Smalls.
He said, sorry. Go ahead. Start over.
Biggie Smalls is dead.
Wait, start over.
He said, start over.
Start over. Sorry.
He said, nigga, Biggie dead. They got him.
They got him.
They got him.
What'd you say?
I was like, you lying. He was like, Biggie Smalls is dead. I was like, you motherfucking lying. I was like, he was like, watch the news. What was it?
So what was the word? I mean, who got him?
Streets don't talk, man.
Streets don't talk.
That's it. It ended there.
Streets don't talk, man. The streets don't talk.
Because for a while, I thought like right afterwards, I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, that's it. There's not going to be any more rap because everyone's going to start killing
each other. Well, it was no more West Coast rap. If you pay attention, every artist at that time, we were shopping deals at the time and trying to get...
Because at that time, you were hanging out with everybody that was
super
Westside.
Hot. Yeah. Super hot at that time.
Westside Connect.
They shut us down. They shut the West Coast down. People don't believe that. I lived it. I seen it happen. I watched how Warren went from being the hottest dude, you know, and then Def Jam just...
Because at the time I remember, I'm like, fuck, they're taking out the generals, then they're taking out the lieutenants, and I'm like, oh fuck, mm-hmm. Snoop's neck. And then Diddy. And then it's gonna start, you know, the Chino XL and the rest of those, you know, just back and forth.
Well, what they did instead of killing, like the rappers killing, I believe what happened with those guys, it was whatever happened. I think, like I said, Tupac just got into it with the wrong dudes or whatever, unfortunately. And then Biggie got killed over because people thought he had something to do with Pac getting killed. Simple as that. They just believed that he had something to do with
it. That's it.
Killed him. Period. Wow. That's what happened. And when that happened, I think the industry was like, you know what? Fuck this.
We should stop. And stop.
Especially them LA dudes, we cutting their water completely off. They just killed the Notorious B.I.G. They're going to suffer after this. And we did. They cut our water off. Everything stopped after that. Every artist, DJ Quick, Sugar Free, only person that survived was Snoop. Yeah. Snoop was the only person that survived it. And even he got hurt for a minute. But where did he go? He went down south to Master P's label during that period of time.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he went to No Limit.
He had to.
That was like the big thing at that time. That's when rap and hip hop turned into look at how big my gold neck is.
He went down south to make money because he couldn't make no money. They cut everybody off over here.
Yeah, I remember that.
Everything stopped, and that was the era that I was coming up. And so everything stopped.
That's when music started turning into money.
That's when everything, the money, Mace and Diddy and all of them dudes started to rise. Everything getting flashy. Jay-Z, Ja Rule, and DMX just like this. They just catapulted. It was a conspiracy for sure. No doubt. No doubt it was a conspiracy behind it.
Look, we have breakthroughs here, huh?
Breakthroughs in hip hop.
That's crazy thing.
I lived it.
You know what? You guys know what you're talking about. I have no idea what's going on.
Lito, no, I can tell he listened to the music. He knows he's about the culture.
Yeah. At this time, I was really into hip hop. And rap and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And then I started getting into, like, my friends started, like, showing me, like, hip hop, like, Black Star and Mos Def, Talib Kweli, you know, stuff like that.
Shout out to Talib Kweli.
What up? They're releasing another album, huh?
Yeah.
I'm excited for that one. That should be a good one.
Some shit. I got a record with him.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Talib, shout out to that.
We gotta go hang out with this guy one night, dude. You think we'll stick out like sore thumbs if we hang out with you?
Especially like in Hollywood and shit. You'll fit right in.
He's inviting us. Let's go. Let's go. Can we wear official Danger Hour t-shirts?
I think you're inviting us, but okay. All right. And now I want to discuss a little bit of the future. Gotcha. Okay. First of all.
Robots rapping. Your thoughts.
Go.
Go right now.
Let's say in 30 years. I'm going to throw a silly kind of topic in before.
A silly one?
A silly one. In 30 years from now or so, maybe even sooner, who fucking knows, do you think there will be an epidemic of brain cancer because of cell phones?
Nah, man.
Because, I mean, cell phones just popped right into the market, and there hasn't been that much time to research them.
Gotcha.
I mean, it's very possible that our generation in 20, 30 years, everyone will have brain tumors because of all these cell phones, right? You know what I'm saying?
That's a good question, but I don't think they cause tumors.
There hasn't been any proof of it.
They have speculated to it.
Come on. It's kind of like the conspiracy theories back in the day where the big red, everybody's commie.
The what?
You know, the big red theory.
That's got nothing to do with what I'm talking
about. What's it called?
This is technology.
It's the same kind of... Everybody's got to have some kind of worry where they, you know... Doesn't matter what time it is, the powers to be have to create some kind of paranoia. You can't... Like he was talking about earlier, I can almost 100% say that there's a cure for most... diseases out there. Yeah.
I will back you up on that one.
Oh, yeah. So you got to have somebody to fear because there are so many people doing so many different things. You know, you got the people that are on their phones that are technology bound. You got the people that are into the music. You got the people that are into the medicine. You got the people, everybody's doing different things. So you got to have a fear for every certain thing. With the cell phone people, the people that are doing all this, you know, electronic shit, you know, they say, oh, well, there's so many radio beams and radio waves going in the air to hurt everybody. There is, and the thing is it's getting more to the point where now you can buy these little MiFi cards, sell them at my store, and you can get internet everywhere. So you can, without a doubt, there's fucking all kinds of technology in this room. Don't you think we would have been exposed to that already? I mean, at least a little bit of a fraction.
What I'm saying is, the cell phones being put to your face at all times.
Have you seen the
I'm old, saying over a long period of time. Over a long time.
Okay, but the thing is,
it could. I mean, people listen. They make this technology, and it's great technology. I'm not going against that. It's wonderful. It's fucking awesome. It's the best shit. Actually, probably the best invention of all time. The cell phone. Okay. With the smartphone. I mean.
The smartphone.
And so, they don't really know the effects that it will produce. But we only know years later, when we see the effects of or the outcome of what happens.
I'll tell you why I don't think so. Because you got to think of it's the microwaves that are going into the phones. The phones are getting more smarter, and the components That's become true. Smaller. 10 years ago, when they had the Zach Morris phone, I could, you know, people were holding
Zach Morris right? was saved by the bell.
When you had this big old fucking antenna and this battery pack. I mean, the older phones before that were suitcases, and you had a crank in it.
If that's the case, microwave food would have fucked us up a long time ago.
Exactly. Those phones,
same shit.
Would have
no, hurt. But the microwaves have that. Well, apparently that special grid in the front that prevents the waves from coming out of the box. You know that.
But what I'm saying is the phones back then they would have been emitting more microwaves or whatever it is going to give us cancer back then.
It's not microwaves. It's fucking.
Whatever the fucking, you know, giving us whatever this
it's like
is.
Radiation or something, right?
Okay, but the thing is what I'm saying is the devices back then weren't regulated like they are now, and they have a lot more electronics going in there. The battery and the fucking antenna that's spitting out the radiation back then, it would have already showed by now. Because I get people all the time. I've been a customer since the phones were cranked up dial machines, and I had to carry my own suitcase for a phone, and I had to carry another suitcase for business.
Oh, wow.
They're fine. You know, I mean, they got a weird head, but, you know, who knows?
That's the well, good theory, though.
I guess only time will tell. Let's see. Time will tell.
Use your phone a lot, and we'll find out in 5 years.
Well, they're already, I don't know how true it is, but they're connecting your phone in your pocket to being sterile. You know, it's a direct connection so far. That's
sterile?
What I've heard. Yeah. Well, not completely sterile, but lowering your sperm count.
Yeah.
Really?
That's what I've heard, a study so far. And that's actually a good idea because you won't get girls pregnant, right?
Yeah, right. I ain't trying to have no more kids.
It's the penis valve.
So you better put like 8 phones in your pockets.
Why you got so many phones in your pocket?
Yeah. Corey, you don't listen to our show, and I forgive you for that, but there's something that we've talked about in the past.
I told you it's really hard for people to listen to. You got to click 3 buttons. Okay?
Yeah, exactly. There's something I personally came up with called a penis valve,
okay.
Where in the future, if I'm elected president or if people move to my own island, Danger Island, all male kids, children, will be installed with penis valves. What this means is when you get older and you want to, you know, have sex with a girl,
okay.
You simply, maybe in your belly button, you reach in and you put your finger in there and it's like a little slot. You turn it, it turns off your penis valve. So you can go ahead and bang the fuck out of this girl. You will never ejaculate. Okay?
Okay.
Because you turned it off.
Gotcha.
And then when you're done with it, you go to the toilet and you open it and you just drain yourself. So this prevents unwanted children. It's revolutionary technology. I'm patenting it myself.
You know what? I think I'll just stick with a condom. Yeah.
But okay, here's the problem. Here's why you're wrong. Okay. Because condoms take away sensation. Okay? Do you agree with that?
Yeah, but then you
keep from getting... Shut up. But listen.
Diseases. Yeah.
No. This is like, you know, this is a sure thing only. If it's only your, like, your wife or your girlfriend.
Okay.
You're still not going to fuck with, you know, strange women.
Gotcha.
This is to only prevent children.
Okay.
Okay? So if you know the girl's disease-free, you turn your penis valve off.
And just go for it.
Just beat the hell out of that vagina.
Okay.
And you're good. Are you on?
No.
Oh.
No fucking dick. No dick valve.
What if the girl goes down there before you're like, oh, hold on, let me just get something. All right.
You know, she opens it?
Yeah.
Now you would know.
You would know?
Oh, you would know. You would know.
Valve.
All right, we'll forget that.
But I'm guessing with the penis valve, you would have to be a rock star all the time, right? Because, I mean, you don't want to go your
That's the way the future would be in my world.
Yeah, you don't want to go to the naughty jungle out and, you know, you start twisting this thing. I'm pretty sure it hurt.
It's in your belly button. So if anyone puts their finger in your belly button, you would know. Okay? Forget about that. That was just my silly way of going into music in the future. Okay? I want to talk to you about this because I think you're qualified. We've talked about this before. Music is going more into the technology ways where less and less people are actually playing real instruments. Would you agree?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So do you think years from now, it's just going to be like a bunch of weird sounds and like no one's going to be making any fucking real music anymore? No one's going to be playing any instruments? Just noises and weird shit, right?
Yes.
So you're saying it's going to sound like the Close Encounters? Close Encounters the third time?
I don't know. It's been a long time since I saw that movie.
Yes, I think guitars and all that shit is going to play out.
Think so? Yeah. Can you imagine in like maybe, let's just throw a number out there.
I think computers.
20, 30 years. Mm-hmm. You play guitar. I know you do. Mm-hmm. And let's say 20, 30 years from now, we're still alive.
Gotcha.
We're playing guitar still.
Hopefully.
And you know, can you imagine if it's like to our kids now, like the fucking rotary phones? Like, what are you doing with that? Like, what the fuck is this thing? Like, what are you talking about? You know, you can't appreciate this? No. That's bullshit. This is what we're doing.
Grandpa, there's an app for that.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's where we're going.
You believe so?
I know so.
It's negative, right? It's a bad thing, right? Do you think so?
No, it's not a bad thing because it's progress, man. If things were to stay the same, we all be fucking in the horse and wagon. You know, there'd be no cars.
I understand that.
We'd have a fucking buggy and a horse.
I see that point, but don't you think it's very important to stay in tune with music? I mean, okay, check it out. It'll be music. Listen, let me throw something at you.
Okay.
Okay? 40 years from now, 50 years from now.
Yeah.
Okay? Somehow we're still alive, me and you.
Yeah, got you. I'll be alive.
Yeah. At least you will.
Gotcha.
Let's say everything is digital. Everything. Every fucking piece of music is digital.
Everything.
You do it on a computer. Suddenly, there's some kind of huge war. All, like Terminator, all systems are wiped out. There's nothing left. Okay. But here you and me, we have our acoustic guitars. Right?
Gotcha.
We're able to play.
Play.
If it wasn't for us, would music die?
No, it's just going to evolve.
But if all computers get wiped out and all technology is wiped out, that's what I mean.
Got you.
Do you think music will be dead?
No, because it's inside the human spirit to create. So I think people will eventually
they'll find a way. You think?
Because even through the machine, you still have to be the one that actually has to be music savvy.
Yeah, you got to have some kind of an ear. So they.
I don't believe that.
They're learning.
Yeah. I don't believe music savvy. I will believe an ear. Yeah.
Yeah. An ear.
But music savvy, I think, is a completely different story. You can have a good ear and like the way things sound, but it doesn't mean you're going to be a great musician.
That's true.
I don't know.
Well, see, the musician has evolved into more of a, I want to say like a more of a composer or somebody that manipulate. Yeah, because like, dude, if you listen to all the new music of today, like the DJs, like Skrillex and. Like a lot of the dubstep music and shit like that, it's all electronic.
Right.
Every fucking thing is electronic. I'm like, most of these guys are just using a mouse and clicking on, it's a grid, right? Like that, like a grid, and then they just place the sounds and put them on the grid.
No, I get it. I mean, it's easy. It's probably the way to make money.
But
isn't it a shame that we're going to lose the art form?
But we're going to lose it. But the thing is, that's an art form within itself.
Are you gonna pass this on to your children? Try to teach your kids to play guitar? Or are you just going to let them embrace technology?
No, I'm going to let them do both. I'm going to let them play.
But you're gonna try to instill that in them?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good idea. If you find a group stupid because like their music's horrible and they like them, are you going to try to...
I'm gonna find out and see what do they like about.
I mean, LMFAO. What do you think about them?
I think they dope.
See, I was expecting a different answer.
I'm gonna tell you what I think about them. What I think about them is they make fun music.
Yeah, they do.
They make fun music, and there's nothing wrong with it. Mm-hmm.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
I know you think their video. I know you think their video's gay, but
that shit gay as fuck.
But they do make catchy, fun music.
They do,
and there's nothing, like I said before, nothing wrong with that. You know, my only concern, I guess, if you call it anything, is because I love playing guitar. I think it's wonderful.
Me too.
The fact that it could be lost.
It kills you.
Kind of lost, you could say lost in translation, because everything's going to be digital later on. It's a fucking shame. I mean, it's a shame that people are not going to be playing real drums. I mean, it's not going to completely phase out, but it's going to take a big hit. You
know? But to your fear, I don't think that there's going to be enough people to not, you know, lose their sense of guitar. Well, what I'm saying is I don't think there's a lot of people not like you. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people like
you. But you got to look at
I know that.
I'm staying like this. There's
but this is our generation, though.
Yeah.
What I'm talking about is the future.
Everything evolves. And yeah. See, the thing right. is, back in the day, when people had a party, the radio was a man literally fucking playing the piano. If you go back to the cowboy days and the saloons, they didn't have a radio to play music. They had some dude. And he played whatever.
Have you seen the movie called The Pianist?
No, I haven't.
That was his job. He played piano and it was on the radio.
Yeah, that was, on the radio. He just... whatever, right? Yeah. So then the radio, Thomas Edison, right? If I'm not mistaken, but he invented
the radio. He did the light bulb.
He did the light bulb. He invented the radio.
I'm just fucking with you. He might have. I don't know. Who knows?
One of them, Ben Franklin, Thomas Edison, one of the motherfuckers, they invented the phonograph. Who invented the phonograph?
I don't know what that is.
Some guy.
Okay, I think Edison did. The record player. So that was recorded music. Boom. Oh, shit. We got recorded music.
Right.
Now, you can go into a place, hook up one of these guys, a microphone, and play a composition one time and just duplicate it over and over and make copies.
Yeah.
And now, you don't have to have a guy that knows how to play the piano to entertain the crowd. You just get his record and play it.
Yeah. So that's kind of a shame too, right?
To them it was a big shame, but it's technology, it moves on. Right. So things evolve and the new opportunities and new things come about.
But that actually, if you think about it, the more technology advances, the less humans have any part of it.
Yes, it's true.
That's sad, right?
Kind of,
because
it
after
is.
That, the guy had no job. I mean, he's not playing piano anymore. Because like, oh, we got this recording. Fuck you.
It's like when you go to the grocery store and you got the self-checkout.
Yeah.
You see, it's a movie called Metropolis.
Things are getting sad. You should watch Metropolis. I don't like the way things are going.
Yeah, that's what it talks about. The movie Metropolis.
Metropolis.
Yeah, it's an old movie that's basically about dehumanizing the human and making the computer or the machine more human.
Yeah.
And they're replacing us.
Then they will take over and kill us all.
Basically, iRobot. Yeah, they're replacing us with
pretty
machines.
Much. That's the way it's going to go. So, play guitar, you assholes out there.
That's
my message is to you.
Play something real.
And one other thing I wanted to talk about was music of today. There really isn't anything. I mean, there might be in your opinion, but. Is there really anything that's going to be breakout? Like anything, well, not really breakout, but anything that's going to be remembered in 20, 30 years? Right now, happening. No, right? All this shit's going to be passed over. I mean, let's think about it. Let's go back. Okay. James Brown, always.
Always.
The Beatles, always.
Always, yeah.
Okay? Nirvana will always be there because they fucking broke barriers. And they changed everything when they came out. They made such an impact. Those are just a few bands, but I'm saying
also to that, don't you think that there was I don't know, you probably would think so, but I think so. There was a lot less main options to go back in the day because now it's easier for anybody to break through into, I mean, their own media space. I mean,
is the content because it was, I mean, you can listen to it now. James Brown is still fucking great now, even given all the shit that's happened
but
since
then. It's got to start somewhere though. You got to have a starting point somewhere to tell future, to tell future, to tell future, to tell future. You got to, I mean, we can't judge
the
that
point is, okay, I know what you're saying. you've got to have evolution in music.
Yeah.
But what you got to remember is, in 20, 30 years, LMFAO is not going to be remembered at all. They're going to die out.
Who knows?
James Brown. Well, as of now, they will not be remembered. Who knows if they keep going for like 20 years from now? But yeah. I'm saying as of now, the Beatles will always be fucking remembered, you know? Oh, yeah. Led Zeppelin will always be remembered. It's just classic shit. I mean, yeah. Marvin Gaye will probably always be remembered.
Always.
And it's going to keep going because it's great. And my point is, I believe nowadays everything is just blurring all together. Like, especially these indie bands. The indie bands, they might have great music.
They might be popular in their own.
But it all blurs. Yeah. You forget about them easily, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Well, because the thing is...
Remember the Strokes?
The thing you got to think about where the times that we're living in now. Nowadays, in the future, you have more things fighting for your attention.
Oh, yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Right. The mobile phone, the video game, the internet. It used to be just one medium. Television and radio, two mediums.
Yeah.
Radio in the car, television in the house. That was it. So when an artist came out, they stuck because he was more locked into that one thing.
So technology kind of fucked over the artist.
Fucked it up. Yeah.
But on that point though, I have to disagree a little bit because now when you have an artist,
okay,
there's a lot more mediums for that artist to get out on. Now, I mean, I'm going to use the LMFAO because I don't really think that their stuff's going to stick. But now you got them in commercials. You got them doing, you know, they might be in a video game
faster.
Yeah, I get that, but that's what I'm saying. Is that's why I don't think that there's going to be too much longevity because when somebody blows up, it seems like they just throw it out there, boom, in your face, in your face, in your face, and then that's why they don't last. So that's why I think back then it was a lot more easier to be some a mainstay for forever. Because back then, I mean, they were releasing album after album after album. It just never seemed to get stale.
But no. Not then. They didn't, dude. It would take them 2-3 years to release the second album.
Because like, there was a lot more anticipation back then because they actually it was hard work.
It was hard. It was a lot more anticipation back then. And there wasn't as many mediums to catch your favorite artist.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't just go pull up a Michael Jackson video anytime I wanted to.
Yeah, remember we were talking about that. You had to
wait for fucking MTV to air it.
Yeah.
If you missed it when it aired, you missed it.
Yeah.
You got to wait for them to air it again.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Like, if they're going to be on a talk show or something like that.
You stay up all night.
If you missed it, like, you couldn't go to the next day of school. Oh, snaps, did you see him on the Ed Sullivan show?
Oh, go on YouTube.
Oh, shit. Now it's like, I missed it. Oh, I got it on my DVR. I can watch it on YouTube.
On my phone?
Get just like that on your phone.
Instant gratification. Yeah. Instant gratification. So the artists, they don't last as long because it's so accessible and it's so easy. We can put out a record right now in this very room and upload it on YouTube.
We can.
That's true. Yeah.
And then download it onto our personal phones and then we just... Put it in people's faces. Boom.
Listen. Exactly. It was like kind of back in the day where they had to actually go kill a chicken to cook it and kill a hog. If we just say we lived on a ranch in the country.
Yeah.
We wanted fried chicken or whatever it was. You have to go
go do it yourself.
You can go outside, go pick the best hen that you got, pluck it, feather it, cook it, and whatever you got to do, then do it yourself. Then it went from that to the fast food chains.
I get you.
You understand what I'm saying?
Going to music, I remember 10 years ago, 15 years ago, back when I was still going to school, in junior high school, the mall we were at was very popular, and I remember there'd be dudes outside all the time, check out my music, man, check out my music, it's really cool. They'd have a CD player, they'd have headphones. Oh, you really like it? Give me $5. You don't see people like that anymore, because now it's like, here's my Facebook, here's my Twitter, go listen to iTunes, or you got a free sample or something like that. Now you just throw flyers everywhere and put it up on the social media.
And to me, that was strange even then, because I come from the era where you got to go buy the shit. It was not, everybody didn't have a home studio.
Yeah, yeah.
To make music, like, this shit was expensive.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to
say? Now it's a $6 app.
Yeah, now it's a little app. You go in there, buy a little computer, everybody's making music. And so the market is just flooded with musicians or wannabe
art. Everybody's a photographer. Everybody's a musician. Everybody's a producer.
Everybody, exactly.
But exactly. But then the difference also is back then, these people were actually
good at it.
No, yeah, yeah. They were making these fucking. They were making these records on their own, and one take. Yeah. They weren't doing computer splices and editing shit. This was all fucking one deal. It was
more manpower involved. Oh, yeah.
This was actually raw talent.
Yes, it was.
It wasn't technology helping out. So, I mean, if you hear... I mean, there's a Led Zeppelin song. You hear the fucking bass rattling on the snare drum. You hear that shit.
Yeah.
Which means they're all in the same fucking room recording at the same time. They're not, like, splicing together shit, you know? I mean, you fucking hear it.
You come and do your take.
And so... fuck, man. It's this whole this whole conversation gets way out above us.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But the point is there really that many purely good artists nowadays, or is technology helping that much that they don't have to be?
No, technology is helping that much. See, the things change when the game changes. It was a book. I never read the book, but it was a book called "Who Moved the Cheese." I heard people talk about it, but I'm insinuating that it's talking about basically game changing. When the game changes, well, you got to follow it. Yeah. So the rules change. Now being a great artist is fucking pulling out your camera. Oh, I'm here. I'm doing this on and posting it on Twitter. Yeah. And posting it on Facebook. That's what being an artist is nowadays. It's all I'm doing. It's instant updates on what you're doing right now. Yeah, yeah. That's what it is. It's like Diddy has a Twitter. Fucking you name it, they got a Twitter.
Oh,
account.
Yeah. It's all being social. It's all social.
It's
right there.
That's it. And then when you recognize the rule, when the rules change and you recognize it, you just do it. Because, of course, people don't have the talent that they had. But there's also talent in social networking.
Yeah. Well, it's made a lot of people famous and
well, you gotta have some people. It's people that are talented at doing that shit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody can't sit there and just social network all day and until they get 30,000 followers. Mm. But it's these kids are just they know how to manipulate that YouTube. Like I'm from the old school, trying to be new school era, and I haven't totally got a grasp on this whole YouTube shit yet.
Computer?
The whole, but these kids, I'm watching groups just blow up overnight because, you know, they just there posting their music, posting all day. Right. So, I might be able to make better music, but they know how to get to the people.
Yeah.
I don't. I can, but it's just still
it's a tricky, tricky fucking time, huh? It's very strange. It's
weird.
But how do you evolve if, I mean, hip-hop, how does the music come apart anyways? I mean, most of it keyboards and...
Well, see, that's the thing. Hip-hop was the first real electronic type of music that was just strictly electronic.
I mean, with what the stuff is nowadays, I mean, all it is a different setting on a keyboard instead of like, boom, boom, now it's wah, wah. You know, like it's got that space feel.
Yeah, the styles change. But hip-hop, see, that's why a lot of people condemn hip-hop because they would say there's no musicianship. Because what it was guys that were taking records and sampling other musician shit. They didn't play instruments. They didn't have the skill to play instruments. They had the rhythm.
But like I was telling him last episode, I mean, I went to a Jay-Z concert, the Blueprint 3 concert, and he had a whole full-on band. It was awesome.
Yeah, they do. They perform. Snoop does it too. Snoop got the Snoopadelics.
Yeah.
the Snoopadelics. And they take electronic music, basically, that was made on drum machines and keyboards, but they play it live. But see, the thing is about West Coast rap has a lot of musicianship. Like, that's what made our rap, our hip-hop was different from New York hip-hop, where it was mostly 100% sampled bass. What Dr. Dre did was he brought real musicianship to hip-hop. He would have... Like a lot of those old school dudes that played with James Brown and George Clinton, they would come to his sessions and play on his music. They still do to this day. That's why his shit was the production, why it was so much bigger, because he had some of the best musicians.
Is that why everybody wants to work with him?
That's what it is. Yeah, because his shit has his style of hip hop is real music, musicianship, where guys are really in there gigging. Yeah. It's all played. instead of him just sampling the record, he didn't
just
do
pressing
that.
Buttons.
Yeah. No, he didn't do that. He'll program the drums on a machine, but he would have like real musicians and keyboard players and people come play on top of that shit.
What do you think about these $300 headphones of his?
Brilliant.
Really?
Brilliant. I mean, dude, that's business.
They sound really nice, but I'm pretty sure with your ear, I'd be able to hear what they're really made for. Because to me, it's like, I'm just like, oh, cool. I can't hear anything else, and now I can hear the music. And it does have bass in it. But like, I tried it with the hip hop, and then I tried it with the rock. The rock, it really didn't translate too well.
Translate too well with rock music. Yes.
Then I put on Adele, and it did.
Yeah, he did what all he did.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
They feel true.
Yeah, exactly.
What they did to you. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, friend.
He does that. Don't worry about it.
What's the shit? Someone like you. Never mind. I'll find someone like you.
If you ever meet her, let me know. All right?
Adele.
I'll go.
You want to be with her?
Cause she can sing to me.
Yeah, the music shit, we can go on all day about it. But the Dr. The Beats by Dre, I think, is dope on his as far as business. Dope. They do sound great.
Yeah. All power to him, right?
All power to Dr. Dre.
I gotta pee. You gotta pee?
Again?
Do you?
I gotta fart.
Let it rip, man.
I said, let her, I don't have to pee.
I'm gonna pee real quick. We'll come back and wrap it up.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Wrapped.
Cool. All right. All right. Here we go. And now we're gonna get to. You guys had some homework, right?
Yeah.
You remember that? Yeah. I gave you some homework. Did you guys both complete your assignments?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Your assignment was to watch the movie. The Help.
Okay.
You saw it?
I saw it.
Lito?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Now, my question is, what did you think of the movie?
What I think about the movie?
Yeah.
It's a good movie. It's good. It was good. I liked it. I really liked the movie. It's good.
Lito, what did you think?
Good movie. If they really take into accounts that are real, then it's really heartbreaking to see some of the stuff that, like, stupid fucking people.
Now, you were apprehensive to watch this movie because you thought it was a chick flick. You thought it was gay to watch it.
Yeah.
Like most movies. So what did you think after watching it? Do you think it was gay in a chick flick?
No, it kind of, it pulled a couple heartstrings.
Look at this!
I mean, I won't go as far as to say, like, I cried like some people.
You cried?
No, I said I won't go as far as
saying
that I cried. Did you cry?
I got teary-eyed. I'll tell you that.
That's crying.
Yeah, you did.
That's not crying.
Yes, you did.
It's just teary-eyed. Fuck you. You would say teary-eyed is crying?
Yes.
Okay, I cried then. Yeah, I cried.
Did. See, it's not a surprise to me because he's crying in a whole bunch of movies.
Okay. I'm glad you liked it. You liked it, right?
Yeah, no, it was a good movie.
Yeah, it was a great movie. I liked it a lot.
Some funny parts.
It's just a good movie. Corey, I'm surprised you had no idea about its existence.
What's
that? I'm like, what? Really? You?
What? Do you assume that he has automatically?
I would assume, yeah. I would assume. Okay, listen. I would assume.
Have you ever heard of Friday?
No. It's way different. I would assume that a black guy would be aware of a movie as powerful and as important as this one is in today's society.
Gotcha.
He had no idea.
You know, it's interesting that you said that. My wife, you know, you told me to watch it.
Did you watch it with her?
She brought it home just said, oh, I got this movie called The Help.
Oh, you didn't tell her?
Nah, I forgot about it. Wow. And so she brought it.
All, yes.
What a dick.
She brought it and I watched it. And I watched it and I liked it.
Yeah.
Thought it was good.
What she think? What she
liked it. Yeah, she thought it was funny.
Yeah,
it was.
It had it all, right?
Yeah, it was dope. It was dope. But what's interesting about that is the movie. It's a good movie. I like it. Was funny, but it was kind of like, I'll give you an example. George Lucas.
Huh?
He got this movie called Red Tails.
Yeah.
That he was doing.
Tuskegee Airmen.
Right.
Hollywood wouldn't back the movie up. But they'll back up movies like The Help.
What do you mean they wouldn't back it up?
They wouldn't finance it.
Because it's not a movie about oppression.
There you go. Exactly. It's not a it's an action film.
Persevering.
Yeah. Exactly. And they won't finance a movie with an all-black cast.
Really?
Yes, he said it. George Lucas said it.
Is he the friend that doesn't like Tyler Perry movies?
Doesn't like what?
No, Tyler that was that,
that,
that
was that was, that, that was the other guy.
That's the other guy. No, nah, I'm not mad at Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry getting his bread. He gets mad. Bread. Yeah,
mad.
but yeah, that's what he. George Lucas was really pissed off about that because he had to finance it himself.
Oh, yeah. Wow,
like but, fucking chump change today.
Yeah, because they'll put movies like The Blind Side.
That's a good movie.
The Help, you know, the Help where you got a white character that's being like sort of the savior for some black people.
But the thing is, she wasn't even in the movie that much.
Huh?
She was. I didn't think she was in the movie that much.
Talk about the white chick.
The main one. Well, the writer.
The main chick.
Yeah.
No, The Help was a great movie.
Yeah,
it was. I'm not gonna shit on the movie, but I'm just saying those are the kind of movies that they will. When we're always put in that sort of a light.
Yeah.
Tuskegee Airmen is a whole different thing. We got black heroes.
Who did Blade?
I don't know who the fuck did Blade.
You like Blade?
I can't remember. Wesley Snipes?
Yeah.
Wesley Snipes.
Vampire
that
Hunter.
Shit was so long ago, man.
Oh, man, that's a good one.
He said that's a good one.
The first one's a good one.
There's one for you.
There you go. Take that and smoke it.
Smoke it, yeah. So... when you look at it at that light, it's just like, okay, it's good. Another one of those. But it was dope. I liked it.
I mean, because for the most part, it seems like any movie that's like a black movie, they have to just, that's it. That's who they're only spinning it to. Like, it's like, really? Like, you know, like for the most part, like I thought, Death at a Funeral? Wedding at a Funeral?
Oh, with Martin Lawrence.
Martin Lawrence and Kevin Hart. And I thought that was a funny movie.
I thought that was funny.
And it almost seemed like they had to add white people just so maybe it can be a little bit
to try to cross it over.
And they had a white person and a midget. And a midget white person.
A midget white person.
And he was gay.
They were reaching.
And he was gay.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting.
And they had poop jokes.
That
was a funny
George joke. Lucas would say that, though. He said anything that's like big budget.
He said that himself, huh?
Pull it up on the internet, yeah.
Wow.
He had to finance this movie, Red Tails, with Terrence Howard.
So he directed it?
Yes.
It looks good.
And Cuba Gooding Jr., who's an Academy Award winner, by the way, they wouldn't finance it.
What did he win for?
Who?
As good as he gets.
McGuire.
It was Jerry Maguire.
It was Jerry Maguire, yeah.
Supporting actor.
Supporting actor, yeah, he did. That movie was good.
I don't remember that movie.
Jerry Maguire?
Yeah. I remember. Who? I remember. I don't.
You complete me?
I remember seeing it, but I just didn't catch it.
Show me the money.
Yeah, yeah.
See,
show me the money.
Show me the money.
I'm your motherfucker. Show me the money.
Yeah.
You remember that scene?
Yeah, I remember. See, I remember certain points, but I was like, yeah.
You know what? I'm gonna say.
I gotta watch it.
Jerry Maguire is a great movie.
Right. Yes,
I thoroughly enjoyed that movie.
I'll watch it.
I have it. You want to
borrow? Forrest Gump.
I think it's on Netflix.
Jerry Maguire.
Fuck you then. You like Forrest Gump?
Fuck yeah.
Oh yeah, that's one of my personal favorites.
Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump is amazing. Well, anyways, The Help. What I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Did you pull a me?
No, I just hiccuped once.
Oh, all right.
Asshole.
Do you think? Did you watch Did your kids watch it with you?
Nah, just me and the wife. I think they were asleep or some shit. I think they went to sleep.
So my question is, do you think it's important for young black kids to watch that movie?
Anything that shows the way things were is important because I think they're trying to... It's kind of twofold, though. Like, what I do with my kids is...
Do they understand... What I really want to ask you is... Do they understand how it was, or are they so used to nowadays that it's
they're
like...
They're so used to nowadays, it doesn't matter.
They don't get it, right?
They don't get it, and I have to explain to them and show them, like, yo, this shit wasn't that long ago.
Right.
Like, do you have any grandparents or anybody that's old enough that can tell them the stories?
Because
I used to love getting stories from my grandpa about the old
days. They can tell them the stories about how things were. And stuff, and I try to tell them, I try to teach them things, but I also I try to teach my kids those things, but then also that black people have a richer past than just a past just of oppression.
The oppression part, yeah.
Yeah, it was a part.
That's just a side note.
Yeah. That's the part they want us to focus on.
Yeah, okay.
But we are from a lineage of like Egyptians, king. Yeah. That's all Africa. Yeah. That's the part they see. When I was a kid, I thought an Egyptian didn't have anything to do with anything from Africa or black. Yeah. But that's where we come from. And so how can you separate the two? They even try to go so far as to make us believe that Egyptians were not like my color. Like, it was fucking the original ones were like me from Nubia, which taught the Egyptians everything they knew. So we have a very, 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 very rich history in that we have to kind of really go out our way and teach our kids. Yeah, because you won't learn that in Nubia. Oh, hell no.
You hear about King Tut and Anubis and all that other shit.
Just like a lot of people never heard of the Moors. The Moors ran Spain for damn near 800 years. They were black Africans like me, like dark brothers, and they built a lot of Spain. They the architecture, they built a lot of shit. Yeah, look up the Moors. Taught them how to play. They invented the game of chess. All kinds of like, very rich history.
See what I kind of got from the help was I like seeing things at a point of history. Like, where were you at this time? Exactly. I like the part where what got me was a part where when they assassinated MLK, I was like, holy fuck! To see like. Holy fuck, they took him off the bus and like, we're going to drop you guys off, but you guys got to get the fuck out. Yeah. And then they started running. They're like, oh shit, something's going to happen. I was like, genuinely terrified. I'm like, fuck, imagine me living at that time.
Yeah.
And you're, I mean, you're walking home and shit's going to pop off.
Yeah.
And you can get pulled over like that. And you know, like, you know, and then when the white cops, when they grab, what's her name? The girl that grabs takes the ring. And they're just like, wholesale, boom!
Yeah.
Right across with the club. I was like, fuck, yeah, like, she was like that. That was fine.
Yeah, yeah. I like for my kids, to answer your question, though, yeah, my kids are totally oblivious. They have no clue. They don't.
It's kind of a good thing, though, right? Is it kind of good?
Nah.
Well, how
is it good that, I mean yes, it's kind of good that they live in a world where they don't got to worry about that, but they should understand where they came from.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Oh, they got to understand where they came from because of the opportunities.
Right.
That were, see, like us, I come from I have way more opportunities than my grandparents.
Right.
Yeah.
You understand? Not so much my mom and my dad because they kind of moved to the city. And so, but I still have more opportunities than they did, but it's not so, mainly my grandparents. And so me not knowing that, we took a lot of things for granted.
Yeah.
We didn't take advantage of being able to go to college.
And your kids will take it granted too because they don't know any better.
They don't fucking have a clue.
It's crazy, huh?
Yeah. Real shit.
It's wild. Clue.
Wait, how old is your oldest? I mean,
he's 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's still...
Still the
video games and toys. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Video games and toys. But, you know, you got to start though.
Yeah, you got to give him a little bit of information every now and then.
Exactly.
So another question I had, based on that movie... Have you ever experienced racism? Like, I mean, hardcore.
Yeah. Not in my face. Kind of like, you nigger or some shit like that. Not like how, you know, my grandparents have in the South.
You heard stories from your grandparents?
Oh, yeah.
What did they tell you?
Like, one time my grandfather, my grandmother, my mom's mom, she was very light-skinned.
Yeah.
And, this is when my grandfather, like me, dark.
Yeah.
And they were driving down south, and they thought he was our driver. they said, you can use our restroom, but he got to go to the, your driver got to go to the back.
They thought she was white?
They thought my grandmother was white. Yeah. And he was her driver.
So what'd she say?
I don't know. My grandmother probably told
fuck
her to go.
You, yeah, right.
go. Exactly. Told her to go fuck they so. Exactly. Yeah. Real wow. Shit. But me offhand, I never in your face racism, but I when I was in junior high school, my mother, she worked in Buena Park. And so
I grew up in Buena Park.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, did you go to
went to Buena Park Junior High.
Yeah, I went there for a year.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I went to Buena Park Junior High.
Yeah.
What year?
7th and
8th. Oh, he's older than you.
Yeah. So.
Graduated Buena Park,
Oh, okay. So immediately coming out of the Linwood School District and Compton School District, going over there, I felt it immediately. It was like this kid coming out.
Was it the woodshop teacher, Mr. Gorin?
Shit, I don't even remember the name.
That dude was hardcore, man.
No shit.
He was a Jewish witch out teacher, and every time they'd fuck with him, they'd like etch the Nazi sign.
That's fucked up. Yeah, I felt it then.
Yeah.
Coming out of an all black school and then going to a school where it wasn't that many black kids.
Yeah.
It was different things like they would do. Like, for instance, back then when I was in junior high school, it's like 93. I was in eighth grade. The show Martin, I don't know if you guys watched Martin, was super hot.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah, exactly. Damn, Gina. That show was so fucking hot.
Yeah.
Like, it was hot. You know what I mean?
Channel 11.
Exactly. So, it would come on Thursday nights. So, Friday mornings, we would all come back to school and talk about Martin. Wasn't that many black kids in the school, so it'd be like a handful of us in a group. Maybe like 10 of us. And we'd be cracking jokes before the early morning bell. Like, right before school started. So, we all get there early. We're kind of hanging out, talking about Martin. Just laughing. Oh, did you see the part when Gina did this?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Break it up. What's going on over here? What are you guys doing? Why is it all of you in a group? You know, little shit like that. Like, we couldn't mount up and be together and laugh and talk. And then at lunchtime comes, you have like 40 white kids or Hispanic kids in a group all together. Nobody says nothing. It could be like 40 or 50 of them on the field.
Yeah.
Just having a good time.
So 10 of you is an alert.
It's an alert, yeah.
I don't remember too many black kids, because I went in 97, 98. Maybe even before that.
Okay, you came when I was in high school. Yeah. I had left.
Yeah.
Wasn't that many blacks here.
No. Because even I remember going over there from Roland Heights.
Yeah.
Roland Heights, back then, there was a lot more, you know, there's a lot of everybody. This was before, you know, the Asians came over. But I remember going over there, I'm like, not too many Mexicans. And I remember, like, my first group of friends were all white.
At that school, really?
At that school. And then, like, I remember, I'm like...
In Baldwin Park?
Buena Park. Yeah.
And then I remember, like, the Mexicans weren't over there. They were playing soccer in the field. They were somewhere else.
Buena
Park's, like, Knott's Berry Farm.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where you went?
Yeah.
Really?
I went there for a year. My mom worked there. And so it just made more sense for me to go to school closer to her job so she could pick me up. So I hated it, dude. I fucking hated it. It was like, what the fuck?
So that was the most racist thing you've ever happened.
Yeah, for me. Yeah, I felt that because...
You know what? I mean, I'm like white and Mexican, but if I'm anywhere, I'm always aware of who's around me. I always feel like, okay, we went to my wife early in our relationship. We went to a Chinese restaurant. We were the only non-Chinese there, and I felt completely uncomfortable.
You were talking about this on the episode with her. I was listening to this.
Did we talk about that?
Yeah. You said that exactly. And that you were a little bothered.
Yeah, I'm that's just one example. Yeah. I'm always like that. I'm always aware of who's around me.
Okay.
And I'm always aware of who's around me. If it's all white, I feel out of place.
Gotcha.
Because I've got white in me, but I don't look like I'm a white. Some guys think I'm white, but I don't think I look like a white dude.
Okay, gotcha.
And this time I asked her, like, hey, do you feel weird? No. I'm like,
yeah.
And I feel stupid. Like, I feel like out of place. I feel strange, but she doesn't. I don't know what that means. If she's what, stupid?
Yeah, she's a stupid one.
Oh shit!
I mean, if you're in one, okay. Let's say you are in a room full of white people, and you recognize that you and your wife are the only non-whites. Do you feel strange?
I've been in that position before.
Do you feel weird?
Not with me and my wife. You kind of get used to it, man. When you black, dude, I hate to say it. You do kind of sit from where, you know, you get used to people. They gonna come up to you and be smiling. Hey, how you doing? And try to, because they don't want to seem racist.
Right.
So, you know what I mean?
They're extra nice to you. That's a bad thing?
No, that's not bad. That's what I'm saying. It's not a bad thing. They kind of going out their way to show you that they're not racist.
Right.
So, that's cool. You know, so I'm kind of, I can say I've been in that. I'll give you a story. My dad is a black Republican.
Okay.
So, we went to a GOP meeting. Good old party. Is that what it stands for? Somewhere in Newport Beach, we went to this thing. I forgot what it was called. Nothing but fucking Republicans, white people, you know, Christian.
That's why you get to pee so much.
Yeah. And we were like, dude, we were like fishes out of, like a fish out of water.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was just right, and they were looking like, black people. And this was during a time where Obama was in office.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, they looking like, what?
They're spying on us.
So my pops wanted me to go with him, and my pops been a Republican since I can remember. He's always been a Republican.
Yeah.
And so we go to this thing, and then, you know, they were just extra nice. Super extra. So I didn't really feel, I felt strange, but it was kind of, I was laughing inside. Like, yeah. This shit's funny, but they were extra nice. Like, we're not racist. We're not like that.
We like you.
Yeah, yeah. So
I was like, you racist motherfuckers.
You know what's funny? I've worked at a few jobs, and our job actually that we worked at together, I've noticed it too there, that Mexican dudes seem to get along right away, right? If they're from Mexico, it's like, boom, they just connect right away, like the guys we knew, Pepe and Andres.
I can understand Pepe and why, Andres. Yeah.
They just locked in together, they're fucking best friends, right? All of a sudden.
Speak Spanish though?
Well, my question is...
Predominantly,
yeah.
That's why, because you got to be able to...
One guy spoke mostly Spanish, the other guy was...
He both.
He spoke a lot of English, but it was broken.
Well,
but,
well the thing is a person's going to latch onto, especially someone where you got to have almost...
But you're missing...
Not using them as a translator, but they're picking them up, because I've seen it before. For the most part, what it is, like Sandra has this theory, whenever you're at a store or something, and the chick behind the counter, she's kind of... You can tell she can speak English, but she's maybe not the most comfortable. But once she starts speaking Spanish to her, boom. Oh.
They lock right
boom.
In.
You know what? You want a discount?
Yeah.
I swear to God, Sanders done that many times.
That's my point, like, though. Yeah. Like, Mexicans, and dude, I've had many jobs. We're like, the Pisces. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
the Pisces, boom, they're just locked in together. Yeah. My question to you is, without being racist, I hope I'm not.
Yeah,
is it the same with black guys? If you see a black, like you said, Eddie Griffin did the same thing with you, right? Yeah. He's the only black guy here. I'm gonna go sit with them. But is it normally like that?
That's a great question. I'm gonna tell you why.
Why?
Because black people, we always feel the pressure of what's the word? How do I want to put this?
Hatred,
Hatred. He said hatred. No, we don't want to stand out. So we've been beat so much about, you know,
a little animosity towards each other.
Not really animosity towards each other. I'll give you an example. Like, I got Mexican homeboys, right?
Real quick, I guess my question really is, do black guys like really get together?
We do.
Like the Mexican guys do.
We do, but we don't want to stand out because we don't want to get in trouble.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, for instance, we get on a job, and like Mexicans, I know they get on a job, they'll bring their brother in. Cousin, homie,
oh, yeah.
They'll try to get anybody they know on the job.
Yeah,
we don't do that.
Where they turn the job into a family reunion?
They turn the whole shit into a family reunion. And it's like cool to do. First thing, we're trained like this. You better not go hire them niggas. That's what our parents tell us.
I'm gonna fuck around, make you lose your job.
Yeah?
That's how we teach each other. We teach our kids that because... The light is always on us.
Right.
Always. So we're trying to survive.
Yeah.
So we kind of separate ourselves from each other. It's sad, but we do because we want to survive. And we can't show that we want to be with our brothers and hang out unless we're in our own neighborhoods amongst each other and it's mostly us. Then you'll see us do it at the churches and stuff in predominantly black neighborhoods or situations. But on the job, man, we scared.
I remember I worked this one warehouse, and this guy, Jermaine, cool dude, he brought in his cousin. This guy was a jackass, man. Mm-hmm. He was just always fucking up. He always told me, man, I knew I should have brought this fucker in, man. He's always fucking up. He's giving me a bad name and stuff. And I don't know if like, that was the same thing, but it was like, to me, it was like, I remember like one guy actually brought like his brother, and like his brother was a fuck up, but he never really, he's like, man, this guy's.
Because we always, the light is always on us.
Man.
Period. As soon as you walk in, oh, it's a black dude. I wonder, is he a cool one or is he going to be crazy? You feel it. You already know when you walk in, the light is on you. Everybody's looking and they're waiting to see what kind of black dude are they. See, what are you going to bring to the table? So we on our best behavior. You know, we. shit, I gotta be cool because I don't want to lose my job. So
you say that about black people. Black people. Do you think about that with Mexicans too? White people? Like, what kind of Mexican is that guy? What kind of white person is that guy? I mean,
you said, do we think about that?
Well, you said you think about that when you think about, oh, there's another black dude working in the company with you.
Do I think about that about another brother?
Yeah. And what do you think about that other with other Mexicans? Because you know how you were saying, like, I don't want to hold. I hold my feelings deep to the chest because I just don't want to stand out. Do you think about that with other, like, people too? Like, oh, there's a new guy coming in. What are you?
I don't care. I swear I don't. I don't even be on. I don't think about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't even. They thinking about me. I'm not thinking about them, though. They like, oh, he's black. I don't want to say the wrong thing. I want to be cool with him. How is he? You know what I mean? And so I'm not thinking about them. I'm just doing my thing.
Yeah.
So they probably worried about this. He's black. Like, being black is the, I don't know, you know. And I didn't know a lot of people felt that way. Because I've come from a black neighborhood where it's us.
Yeah.
It's us. I ain't got to, you know, we only deal with each other. So I never really stepped outside the black neighborhood that much. But then when you step out, you realize people are kind of like, I don't know if they're intimidated or they not intimidated as in being scared, but they maybe haven't dealt with a lot of blacks. And so when you hear a lot of shit, you don't know what to expect. Like your ex, like me and James, we have this conversation a lot of times. So it's kind of like weird. But to answer your question, we have that camaraderie amongst each other. For sure, we do. But sometimes, and most in the workplace, we're afraid.
Yeah.
Because the light is always on us.
Yeah.
So we don't want to stand out. And then, you know, and they be like, oh, man, you know, we don't want that attention on us. So unfortunately, we kind of shitty towards one another in the workplace. Like, you know, me and old boy, Captain Velocity, we didn't really mingle that much.
Yeah.
But me and Christian, we was cool. You know, so some of that, and that's that mentality of that slave mentality, if you will. One of the things they did in slavery was to breed us with a mentality to not like one another. They would use different things like light skin versus dark skin, old versus young, sort of like a divide and conquer mentality to keep us from mounting up into one to be. So it's kind of hard for us to get along sometimes because we were shunned upon, you know, we would get punished for it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. So we kind of keep that slave mentality when it comes to the workplace. We kind of don't want to stand out. So we not going to try to hire our homies, our cousins. We scared.
Yeah, he brought it up right now. You actually told me about this. Mm-hmm. To be honest, I don't know if it's really true, but it really sounds good to me. Mm-hmm. The slave owners would turn the light and the dark skins against each other in attempt. Yeah. I heard, you know what? I read about that.
They say it was a
There's like, you know, both, it's fake, it's real. I don't know. It does make sense to me that the slave owners would turn the light-skinned blacks versus the dark-skinned blacks against each other, and you know, and they bring the lighter ones into the house.
Yeah.
And forgive my language, you say it. Say it.
House niggas.
And, there you go.
Yeah, house niggas, and then you have the
and you have the ones outside the working outside, exactly. In the fields.
Yeah, field niggas.
And the ones house inside niggas were lighter, generally, right?
Yes, they were.
And outside were darker.
With the dark.
And that was a way to for the owners to say, hey, the better ones come in here. You guys stay out there. Just to divide, you know, the black skin color amongst each other. Which is, honestly, if you think about it, fucking brilliant and also evil and demented at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if it's really true, man, it is fucked up.
Yeah.
The way they divided everybody, yeah, yeah. You know, and divided the race against each other and make them, you know, just fight against one another.
Yeah, they can't
instead of, like you said, you know, everyone get together, fucking group
yeah,
up,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Fight.
Yeah.
No, they're going to play mind game psychology. Like, no. Let's divide the shit. Let's make some, you know, psychological boundaries crazy, here.
Man, I'm honest. And I'm
that
honest.
Is fucking,
yeah, that's what it is.
That
yeah,
is dude. Fucking crazy to me.
And it works.
And you know what? And I believe it.
Dude.
It looks like all the evidence shows that it's true.
It shows that it's true. Even today, you have blacks that are lighter blacks that if they don't think they're better than the darker blacks are intimidated. That bitch thinks she better than me.
Yeah.
And she got good hair or she will.
I've seen that.
That's like, yeah, that's like real in our community, dude. Seriously. We have like some real issues amongst each other. And then on top of that, they would put male against female.
Yeah.
So anything to do, that divide and conquer was one of the main ingredients to keep the slaves in check.
See, I don't think most people know about this or even thought about it. That's why I'm glad you also came on the show also.
Yeah, that's real shit.
I want to get people thinking, man. I mean, listen, we like to fuck around on the show. We make dick jokes, make gay jokes. It's also fun and great and funny. But I also like the opportunity that we can teach somebody something. So I hope someone's listening and learning something. And that would be awesome. But maybe not. All right. The next thing I want to talk about is when we worked together also, this new guy came. He was a temp.
Okay.
He was Salvadorian.
Yeah.
And then I heard after that Salvadorians and Mexicans hate each other.
Yeah, they hate each other.
You heard about this, Lito?
Yeah.
They don't get along.
And basically what I was curious about is how two races become hate-filled towards each other. I have no idea how it started. Maybe, what he said was something about you have to go through Mexico to go to America, right? Something like that. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Something like that. That's why they hate each other. But isn't it a common knowledge that blacks and Koreans hate each other?
Well, yeah, it's been a history... And particularly in Los Angeles, because a lot of the Koreans, they own a lot of the liquor stores in the black community.
Yeah.
The flea markets, like the swap meets that we shop there. We frequent all of these places. And a lot of times when you go to shop in their stores, they have like certain policies. No refunds and they would act shitty towards blacks a lot of time. And one of the things that really fueled that relationship between blacks and Koreans in Los Angeles is the Natasha Harlan story. I don't know if you guys remember her, but anyway.
No. Natasha Harlan?
Yeah, Natasha Harlan. You can Google it. This was like early 90s.
I don't know that one.
She stole some orange juice out of a liquor store. Mm-hmm. She was like 12 years old.
Okay.
And she stole the orange juice. And the Korean lady.
12 years old?
Yeah. Wow. She shot her in the back of the head.
Oh, fuck, boy.
But still, it's on tape. Like, they got it. She stole some orange juice as a kid, and the lady pulled her gun out and shot her in the back of the head.
Wow.
Over 50 cents of juice.
Over some 50 cent fucking juice.
And so that started the riots.
No, that didn't start the riots. No, that was just one of those relationships that was fueling. And then so when the Rodney King thing took place, when those officers got off of beating Rodney King, and that's what fueled the riots. And then the Natasha Harlan thing, that's because the lady, I think she got off. I think she got like probation or some weird shit for killing a kid.
Yeah.
And they basically gave
her... Murder is murder.
Yeah, exactly. Murder is murder. Yeah. She got a slap on the wrist charge, and it was like all of this tension in Los Angeles, you know, racial tension.
Yeah.
So when that went, that's what fueled the riots.
That's fucking crazy. You know what I mean? People, I remember watching TV, that was fucking crazy. Crazy.
Oh, the LA riots.
What started the whole Korean black thing.
Yeah.
Wow. From, is it still like that?
Not that I know. I don't shop in.
Is it blown over? Or fuck the Koreans, right?
He said fuck the Koreans.
You don't step foot in their stores.
Yeah. You know what, man?
So you're telling me you don't go to Rolling Heights then?
No, I don't. Yeah, but that was particularly the Koreans in the Los Angeles area.
Yeah.
The swap meet, Compton swap meet, Slauson.
But you would think, like, if they didn't like, you know, the people shopping there, why did they plant themselves there?
They want your money.
Yeah.
They just don't like you. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of those guys, man, a lot of those people, they're real shitty with customer service. Like, you know, I would rather go to the mall any day and get treated fair and get treated, you know, but them people were ruthless.
Yeah.
They got a ruthless mentality.
Speaking of race,
yeah.
Do you feel the same way I do about Filipinos? They're shady, right?
They're shady?
The guys are shady, right?
I don't know. You know what? I got
don't lie.
No, he said I don't. He said don't lie. No, I don't feel that way. All the Filipinos I know,
guys,
they've been cool.
You know, nothing but cool Filipinos. Cool.
I think you're both wrong.
Yeah.
You must know one bad Filipino guy.
No. I've known like six Filipino dudes. All.
Shady?
Shady as fuck.
What do you mean shady? Are they shady towards you?
No, not towards me. Just in general. Just shady characters. Like, up to no good. Every single one of them.
Damn. Damn.
No, I've known more Vietnamese people that have been.
I'll edit this out. He said, "I'll edit this out." Really? Yeah. Nobody feels the same way.
I'm always
Filipino.
Filipinos are always cool. As fuck. Yeah.
All right,
cool.
I'll edit this
because
out.
Because the thing is they're more like. Like I was saying earlier, Filipinos and Mexicans to me have always been.
You know, all the girls have always been cool, but honestly, dude, all the guys have been just up to no good. I've always not against me, like I said.
I was gonna say maybe
if I worked somewhere, you know, usually when I'm working somewhere, I'll meet Filipino guys. It's probably been about five or six dudes I've known, and they just have always been up to no good.
Maybe you should start with that story. That's why. Oh, you're a pretty cool Filipino guy because, you know, most of them are assholes. maybe you shouldn't start with that story.
No, all the ones, my homies, they cool as fuck.
All right, well, I guess I lost that one. Anyways. All right, now it's time for the legendary fuck you moment.
Fuck you!
All right, here we go with Mr. Corey, Cote. Here we go. You're up to bat. What is your fucking moment?
I can't stand motherfuckers that are two-faced. I hate them. People that say shit behind people's back and talk shit.
I think I might know who you're talking about.
I think I might have a smile in your face and just take a dagger and just stick it in your back and
I think I have I think I have a good idea who you're talking about here, Corey.
Wait, you guys do have his phone number, right?
Who? Yeah, so what do you want to say to that guy?
Fuck you.
You know what would be a good revenge, and I've seen it happen before. You guys put out a little ad on those Craigslist men for men, man looking for men.
Excuse me? Excuse me? What?
Some people it does work on. Oh. But you put a little listing under, and then you put his phone number on there.
Oh, wow. Hey, that's a good idea.
That's a great idea. Right?
I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe
Maybe you should erase all this incriminating evidence.
No, no. Well, we didn't say no names. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Yeah. So,
all right. So close it out. What do you say to that guy?
Fuck you. Eat James' dick.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. All right, Lito. What do you got?
Well, mine isn't so filled with hatred, but
unfortunate. But okay.
Fuck you to my iPhone.
Yes.
Okay. Fuck you to my iPhone because January 1st on my notes that I use for fuck you moments, for show topics, for a whole bunch of stuff, for whatever reason, it just erased.
What?
I have no idea. I have no idea and I don't have any idea. And just fucking, I just checked. I was like,
he needs to get an Android. iPhone is so 2002.
I don't know what the fuck happened, man. Like, I just remember like we're going to do our show, but somebody didn't show up.
Who? Oh, this guy.
And then, like, I remember, I'm like, oh, cool, I got a whole bunch of, like, dude, I had, like, a good 2 pages worth of fuck you moments and show topics. And just, I had, like, it was my fucking memory bank for shit that I can't remember, mostly, right. Like, codes and stuff like that.
I get it. Yeah, I did the same thing.
And it was just fucking gone. I was like, oh, fuck, I don't know what the fuck happened. And I couldn't cry about it too much because there was no way to get around it. So.
Right.
Now it sucks starting over again because I don't remember any of those things I wrote down. That's why I had a notepad.
So fuck you to the die phone.
Yeah.
I mean iPhone.
Well, fuck you to my app. I love you, iPhone.
You better shut your mouth. Your iPhone let you down, man. Your iPhone that killed you today.
Yeah.
I mean, well, the other day.
All right, iPhone, I love you. I just can't quit you.
Here's my fucking moment. And some of you might get offended. Some of you broads out there. My fucking moment is to women cashiers, okay? I hate all of you. You know why? Because you suck, okay? Compared to a man cashier, you don't hold up. You can't compete. You've got no fucking chance, okay? You know what? Every once in a while, like yesterday, I'm going to tell you this, you motherfucker. Like yesterday, I had my kids with me. They were being especially annoying. Okay, I had to go to fucking Schmalmart, and I hate going there, but I went there anyway, because you know why? They don't charge you for fucking paper bags, 10 cents a bag. You know this?
Paper bags? Oh, shit. Paper bags?
In L.A. County, you don't know, LA County. Corey, you don't know this. In L.A. County, if you go to a supermarket, they charge you 10 cents a bag to get your put your plastic? Groceries in, okay? I'm in L.A. County. What?
On plastic, too?
Or anything, paper or plastic,
yeah. That's crazy.
And so they charge you 10 cents, but Walmart doesn't do it. I'm guessing because they're not really a grocery store. They're an all-purpose store, so
no, Walmart, whatever. Well, the thing I'll tell you one thing about Walmart before you go on, Walmart will eat a lot of costs just because they make so much money.
Probably. You're probably right, yeah.
No, they
probably don't give a fuck.
Trust me, I am.
Yeah, okay, you're all right. Yeah, I know.
See, I'm right. See, I'm right.
You're right.
See, I'm right, Daddy.
I hate you. You're right, baby doll. I
mean, Raiders suck.
Really. Suck a dick. Suck a dick.
It's getting anyway. Too gay around
yeah,
here.
I know it is. What's going on here?
Wait, so, don't leave.
So I go in this woman's line, okay? And this line is clearly way fucking shorter than every other line in the whole store, okay?
Because no one wants to go to her.
By about maybe two or three carts on average. So I'm in this line. I'm thinking, yeah, I'm beating the system here. I'm ahead of the game. No, I'm not. The guy I was going to go to, he was an Asian guy. So I said, nope, not going there. Should have went to that guy. You know why? Because I documented in my head where I was positionally in this line. And by the time I got to this register, I would have been long fucking gone in the Asian guy's line. But the woman had some fucking discrepancy with her customer. I don't know what was going on, but she had no clue what to do with this transaction. She looked like an idiot. Like, she was looking around all helpless and defenseless. And it took the manager to come over and bail her out of this transaction. But yet, after she did that, she took her sweet fucking time scanning and bagging the items, and it drove me nuts. I really wanted to yell. I wanted to say, get a fucking new register open. I cannot take it no more. Right? I wanted to yell. But I'm not psychopath, but so I didn't do it. And so I had to wait in this fucking bra, dude. Every line beside me or in front of me.
Were you too deep into the line that you couldn't move somewhere else?
Exactly. Yes. People were behind me. Yeah, exactly. I couldn't fucking just get out of the fucking line. So I'm looking around at every fucking line behind me and in front of me, and every position I would have been in got out of there and was gone out of the store and probably was home by now. By the time I got out.
So fuck you to all.
So fuck you, feminine cashier, female cashiers. You're no good. Just
get back in the kitchen.
Just cook food or do something like that. Clean the aisles or something. Don't
work in the flower section.
Go even pull carts. I'll say that. Don't be fucking scanning shit. All right.
Yeah, because that'd be better with a lady operating a heavy vehicle around your vehicle. That's right.
So fuck you, women cashiers. I'm done. All right? Okay.
Nice.
Fuck you! And we're done with this episode. So once again, thank you, Corey, for coming back.
Yeah, buddy.
Hey, man. The long drive back. Yeah. I appreciate it, man.
I had a blast.
So say goodbye, buddy.
Good night.
Good night and farewell, right?
Yes.
Lito?
Good night, farewell.
All right. Don't pull no, what's that movie? What's that movie?
What movie?
Good night, sweet.
Farewell. It's a musical.
That's what I was playing for. I just don't know what
it's about. Some gay shit. Whatever. All right. Good night, everybody. We love you. 2012 is a wrap.
Year of Danger!